Looks like you've got a quarter tank left, Specialist, I said. She glanced at me again. Yeah, enough for a few thousand regrows if we're lucky. What happens after that? She shrugged and began wiping her hands. They were sticky, and I saw she'd pulled them out of the machine. A drop of goo clung to each fingertip. The stuff was pinkish and looked like thick honey. I was certain, however, that it didn't taste good.
I don't know, she said. These machines vary. After the gauge is full, you run on borrowed time, kind of like using an engine with barely any oil in it, or a printer that says it's out of ink but keeps printing those last few pages.
I nodded thoughtfully. I wouldn't want to be the last guy out of this box. You might come out missing a limb or something.
It happens, she said. How are you holding up?
I glanced at her, but saw she wasn't looking at me. She was squatting and had her face up to the aperture in the front where the two halves met. I squatted next to her and peered inside.
I'm okay, I said. No noticeable side effects after the first few days.
Good,
she said. But I wouldn't plan on living forever on this grow if I were you.
I laughed. I can't fix it. My body is my body. What might go wrong?
Deafness, blindness, bone cancer, lots of things. I'd give you 2 to 5 years.
I frowned. This wasn't what I'd been expecting to hear. In fact, it gave me a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach. I stopped talking and stood up again.
What's the matter?
She asked, sensing my mood change immediately. Nothing. It's cool. I'm not dead, and I guess that's good enough for now.
What's the big deal? Just fix it.
How?
She stood up and looked around, then came close, whispering her next words. Just get yourself killed at some point during the next month or two. It's no big deal. Should be pretty easy to do as a recruit. It will probably happen without you having to do anything, in fact. Dying will get you a fresh grow. Problem solved.
She bent down again and returned to working on her alien contraption. A spill of dark liquid ran from the mouth section, and when she saw it, she shoved her hands in there, cursing. I stood there for a second, staring at her and the machine in turns. The bios had such a strange way of thinking about life and death. Don't like your body? Well, just throw it away and get a new copy. Problem solved.
Wow, said a voice at my side. I see you're helping out the specialists. Can I join in, or is this a private party?
I looked down and saw it was Natasha. I felt a jolt of concern. I'd kind of forgotten about her. I know a few things about women, and one was that they hated to be ignored after a date. Worse, I could see how she'd probably been watching my conversation with Anne and figured I was hitting on her. Or worse, that we were already involved. I hadn't been helping out, after all, just talking. And from her angle, it probably looked like I'd been studying Anne's figure, which was looking good in her jumpsuit.
No, no, I said.
You can help.
No, she can't, Anne said over her shoulder. Neither of you know a damn thing. Now, could you back up a bit? I have to get under this manifold.
As she spoke, she went flat on her back and slid underneath the machine. Natasha and I both curled our lips. It didn't look too sparkly clean under there. The machine dripped unidentified liquids all the time.
Sorry to intrude, said Natasha, turning around and walking away.
I followed her lamely.
Natasha, what's wrong?
Nothing at all.
Come on.
Kiwi huffed in disgust and moved away from us.
I should have known, Natasha said when we were standing in a quiet corner.
What?
I always get involved with guys who chase everything they see like dogs.
I'm not...
It's all right, she said. You're just immature, that's all. I shouldn't have expected anything else in Varys.
It's not like that.
Sure it is. I didn't let you do what you wanted last night in the park, so you lost interest. It's okay, really.
I heaved a long sigh.
Natasha patted me on the arm and slid away.
It's cool. Don't worry about it.
I thought fast and came up with a solid half-truth to stand behind. As a habitually late, second-class student, half-truths were on my skill list.
Let me explain, I began.
There's nothing to explain. I'm not pregnant.
I told you, it's cool.
Go in there and chatter up. You might get lucky. Just then, over her shoulder, I caught sight of the big, round, grinning face of Carlos. He was eavesdropping and delighted with what he was hearing.
Look, I had a bad regrow, I told her.
A what?
Well, remember the morning I was sick?
She frowned and nodded suspiciously. It made me feel a bit guilty, but I sternly reminded myself that I hadn't done anything wrong, other than a little staring, and I couldn't tell her the full truth.
I had what they call a bad grow. It happens sometimes. This machine isn't perfect. Sometimes it rebuilds you out of raw meat and ends up making mistakes.
Natasha looked alarmed.
You're saying you're messed up inside?
A little. That's what I was talking to Anne, specialist Grant, about. She was giving me medical advice. Natasha glanced into the chamber and knitted her face into a frown.
What's wrong with you?
Exactly.
I'm not going to last. She talked about blindness, deafness, cancer. Lots of things could go wrong. I'm living on borrowed time.
That's horrible.
It's cool. She said they can fix it eventually, but not right now.
Natasha looked relieved.
Well, that's good. Are you feeling sick now?
No, I'm fine. I'll eventually have serious health problems, though. She brightened suddenly.
Hey, I have an idea. Why don't you just get yourself killed? New body, no more problems.
I forced a smile. Great idea, I said. Internally, I had to wonder why everyone wanted me to off myself. I noticed then that every member of our team was standing up and adjusting their kits. Carlos lifted his helmet, clicked it into place over his head, and handed me mine.
You're supposed to keep this close. You didn't even hear the alarm.
I put my helmet on and saw the digital readouts that floated in a ghostly fashion over my vision. It identified Natasha as Recruit Elkin. I used my tapper to join the squad channel. Down here, the signal was iffy, and it had disconnected with some kind of timeout.
Elkin, Cooper, and Moore, move inside now, shouted a voice I recognized instantly.
Veteran Harris was never far from our ears. Natasha rushed past me with several other recruits.
Ortiz and McGill, you two will stand guard outside the door. The rest will stay in. Lock the door.
What's going on?
I asked Carlos when Harris stopped shouting orders into my earpiece.
Nobody tells us crap, he said. Some kind of assault is going on upstairs, I'd say. It's about time the lizards made another play.
Maybe they saw us pull the heavies out and back up to orbit and they decided it was time to strike.
Yeah, Carlos said. You might be right there. The timing is suspicious. Everybody knows light recruits are easy.
He leered at me when he said that, and I thought he might be making some kind of rude remark regarding my problems with women. I ignored him and unslung my rifle. I shortened the barrel, as any combat in this hallway was going to be fought in close quarters.
You two,
shouted Specialist Grant behind me.
If anyone comes down here, they have to use the human lock to get in, understood?
We looked at her and nodded. Grant looked at the rest of them.
I don't need everyone crowding me. I'll keep you, you, and you inside, she said,
pointing to Natasha, Keevy, and another recruit.
You can serve as orderlies for now until trained people show up. The rest of you go back to your veteran topside. Mattis, go find me some trained people.
Specialist Mattis left with the rest of them. They climbed the stairs, taking the huge steps one at a time. Keevy caught our eye from inside the vault and waved goodbye to Carlos. Then she gave me the finger. I laughed. The vault door slammed in our faces a moment later, and Carlos and I were alone in the dank corridor.
No worries, Carlos said. This sure beats manning that wall up top. When they start running the machine and pouring fresh bodies out through this door, then we'll know the fight is on. Until then, I'm taking a break.
I didn't share his relaxed state of mind. Sure, this should be an easy duty. All we had to do was keep this door safe, and in the meantime, the battle would play out above us. Still, I didn't like being stuck down here. Something about this dank hole made me feel trapped.